I hope that you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation is found towards the end of your Bible, just before weights and measurements, concordance and maps. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 1. I hope that you'll turn there. Of all the books of the Bible, Revelation is perhaps the most controversial. It has engendered the most interpretive approaches. It is certainly the most mysterious and the most full of unanswered questions. Perhaps the most intriguing book of the Bible, it holds great fascination for us because it deals with the future. It's powerful because it deals with universal events. And it closes out our understanding of inspired Scripture. So along with the book of Genesis, it provides the bookends of inspiration. And it places us somewhere between creation in Genesis and recreation in Revelation. We believe that God is at the beginning of all things, and we believe that God is at the end of all things. The beginning, of course, was good. It was all good. That's what the Bible tells us. Throughout Genesis 1 and the creation account, God says, "Let there be light," and there's light, and He says it is good. In each of the days of creation, He reviews what He has done, and He says it is good. It was a garden, but a garden with no weeds. The beginning of history was good. And we believe that the end will be good as well. Amen. Having read to the end of the book, we know that in the end, God wins. Good wins. But that's not what we experience now. Here, in the middle, even if it's towards the end of the church age, in the middle, in the ground where we live, things aren't very good. Is it any wonder then that we desire to hear God's word about the glorious future of restored goodness? We read and we study Revelation as people stuck in this middle ground. We read and study as people longing to escape the ugly details of life, looking back upon the greatness of creation and anticipating the glorious future revealed here. We stand in the middle ground, which we know is somehow connected to both the beginning, which was good, and the end, which will be good. And so we read this book of Revelation, and it does not disappoint. It gives us the last words of God as we anticipate the end of days. This book will teach us again about Scripture, about Christ, the church, worship, evil, prayer, politics, judgment, salvation, and heaven. And as we study, we will seek to connect this middle ground within which we live to the wonderful ending which we see coming. And hopefully we will be connected with God as we unfurl the truths of Revelation, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. For it is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John. Hopefully by now you have found our text. It is Revelation 1, verses 1 through 8. Listen along. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you, and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and made us a kingdom of priests, made us a kingdom, priest to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the Word of God. We embark today on a study of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is how our text begins. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Right from the get-go, John details the purpose of the book of Revelation, that we would see Jesus. We are meant to experience afresh who Christ is and also to show us what things must take place. The Greek word translated in our English text as revelation is the Greek word apocalypse. It's made kind of infamous because of the zombie apocalypse, which is certainly coming upon the earth at some time. Certainly foiled by the fact that we now have solar electricity and there's going to be lights everywhere. But the zombie apocalypse, those brain-eating dead people or undead people wandering the earth in search of the few remaining living creatures, is never going to happen. The apocalypse, as John reveals, talks about the unveiling or the revealing of something. It doesn't deal with so much the end of the world, although that is part of the topic of the book of Revelation. It is an unveiling. It is showing us who Jesus Christ is. One writer called it a vision of heavenly secrets that can make sense of earthly realities. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, a phrase, of course, which can be understood in two ways. Does it reveal who Jesus Christ is? We're going to reveal Christ, a revelation of Christ. Or is it a revelation belonging to Christ? I would suggest that although it is primarily a revelation belonging to Jesus Christ, that's the Greek construction, its purpose is to reveal Him to us. And Jesus is going to reveal Himself to John through an angel, and He reveals Himself to us through the written word. Throughout the first three chapters, Jesus tells John, write. Write down these words. And as we read, as we study, we do well to remember that the vision John recorded here and the words he wrote came from Jesus. It is a revelation that belongs to Jesus Christ, revealing who Jesus Christ is. We are not merely reading something that came from the imagination of John on the island of Patmos. We are reading something which Jesus Himself said, write this down. It is easy for us to separate the written word from the voice that spoke it. And in doing so, we depersonalize it. But the words written here for us to study are meant to link us to God. If we read the book of Revelation merely as words to be studied and analyzed and somehow figured out, we run the risk of no longer allowing them to do what they were designed to do, which is help us to see Jesus, to create and maintain a personal relationship of intelligence and love with the Creator of the universe. When we read, we want to be joined with God, a God who desires a relationship with us. Although the words are separated from the person who speaks them, and they can therefore be very beautiful, They can be beautiful in the same way a seashell can be beautiful. They can be interesting just as skeletons can be interesting. They can be studied with profit as fossils can be studied with profit. But a seashell doesn't enable you to see the creature. A skeleton doesn't allow you to see the person. And we want to see the person of Jesus Christ as we study the book of Revelation. We don't want to merely look for its structure and discover the meaning of the numbers. We want to hear what is written here as coming from the voice of Jesus Christ as he reveals himself to us and as he reveals the end of days to us. Because the intent of Scripture is not to inform us about God, but to involve us with God. An example of this is the Pharisees. They knew the words of Scripture well, but they did not hear the voice of God at all. They had extensive and meticulous knowledge of Scripture. They revered it. They memorized it. They used it to regulate every detail of their lives. The Scripture can become a book to use, not a means by which to listen to God, if we forget that it is God talking to us. The Pharisees saw the text as a textbook from which they built a checklist of expectations and explanations. It was a handbook of moral precepts rather than a love letter from God. They saw the Bible as an economic arrangement and a political philosophy. God was reduced to what could be measured and used and weighted and gathered and controlled. And we run the risk of reading the book of Revelation with a very similar perspective. If we read the book of Revelation merely about the end times and figuring out the numbers and what all those things mean, the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls and the 144,000, if we are focused so much on that that we miss God, then we haven't done justice to the book of Revelation. Because if we don't know God, our lives become bored and depressed and mean, even if we understand what the end of days is going to look like. When we read the book of Revelation merely as a resource giving us details about the future, rather than revealing Jesus Christ to us, we end up running the risk of being bored and depressed and mean. The book of Revelation is given to us that we might know Jesus Christ, that we might know about the things which are to come. It's not given for the purpose of extended study to increase our knowledge, not for the purpose of fulfilling mankind's desire to foretell the future, but in order to come into relationship with Christ and to see how an understanding of the future will impact us today. That's the purpose of Revelation. As you read it, as we study it together, let's not get stuck on the numbers. Let's get stuck on Christ. After laying down for us the purpose of Revelation, John proceeds to the challenge of Revelation. It's found in verse 3, very simply. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Blessed is the one who reads aloud. It's okay for you to read it aloud. Find a quiet place or a closet where you can read aloud the book of Revelation. Now, for some people, this is a challenge. And we look at that and we go, oh, yeah, it's not that important for us to read it aloud. But there's something that changes in you when you read a text aloud. You start paying a different attention to it. As a matter of fact, I find every time I read Scripture aloud, I have to focus more on it. Reading in my mind, I can gloss over the mistakes. Perhaps you have heard me numerous times when I'm reading on a Sunday morning. I read and my mind wants to say one thing, which my mouth often does say, but the text says something different. That's just human nature. We tend to just think we know it. I read the text and I'll read it two or three times out loud before a Sunday morning, and I'll still come on Sunday morning and I'll trip up. and I think about it more. And that will happen to you. So I encourage you, the challenge of the book of Revelation is to read it out loud. That you can read it out loud. To listen to it being read out loud. The blessing is not for those who read for information or for knowledge, but for those who read and hear and heed. As we work our way through this incredible book, we will not be able to read the whole book out loud. I guess we could, but instead of being a 13-week series, it would be about a 26-week series, because 13 of the weeks would just be reading the text. But as we study this, I encourage you to read it out loud in your private devotions. Challenge yourself. Read it out loud and think, I wonder what Pastor Steve's going to say about this text. Reenact the words in your imagination. Allow yourself to read as though carrying on a conversation with Jesus. When he says, write, imagine being John hearing that and scrambling to find a writing utensil which actually has ink in it that can write and paper and something other than your iPhone or your tablet. Pulling it out and listening and the number of times you want to say, would you repeat that? Let me get that down correctly. The challenge of Revelation is to read it and to heed it and to hear it. Not for entertainment, not for diversion, not for culture. It's not a key for unlocking secrets to the future, not as a riddle to intrigue the pious, but to read to invoke participation in the God event. It's not a crossword puzzle. It's not an especially difficult Sudoku which must be solved. It is God calling us to respond to Him, to know Him, to obey Him, to receive His blessing. What we have here is God's Word. It comes from Him. It is about Him. It tells us His mind. It reveals His creation. It shows His salvation. Reading the Bible as literature has never amounted to much. The doctrine about scriptural inspiration largely determines how we will view the book of Revelation, how we will view all of Scripture. Embracing the doctrine of verbal inspiration allows us to nourish our souls on the Scripture. We are moved to see the words of this verse as a wonderful challenge, which when met will bring a wonderful blessing. We are not told exactly what the blessing is. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it? And then you think it doesn't really matter. This is the Almighty God who has said to us through this text that He will bless those who read it, who hear it, and who heed it. God has given you a road to blessing. Simply read His Word, listen to it, and listen with the intent of obeying. That's the heed part. We study the book of Revelation with action in mind. Not that we would know the details of the future, but we would know the details of the future and how they impact us today. That we would hear what God has to say as individuals, and that we would heed, obey, and change in accordance with what He reveals to us. The purpose of the book is to reveal Jesus Christ to us. The challenge is to read it, hear it, and heed its message. But what is that message? It is revealed in verse 7. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. Amen. That's the message of the book of Revelation. At the end of days, Jesus is coming. There is no greater message than this. There is no message which impresses upon us the need for us to be spiritually correct with God than this message that Jesus is coming. The one who has said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. This one is coming again. The one who will be seen by everyone returning to earth. All of this can be summed up in these words. Jesus is coming again. Every eye will see him. It's not going to be a secret return of Christ. The end of days will be upon us. He who was there at creation, who humbled himself to be born of a virgin, who walked among men and lived a sinless life, the one who was crucified, who was buried, who rose again, who ascended into heaven, who reigns at the right hand of God the Father, who intercedes on our behalf, Jesus is coming again. That is the message of Revelation. Amen. He's coming. And it changes the way we live our lives. For the last half dozen years, I've leased automobiles. And my lease is coming due. And so I'm looking, what am I going to do? And the lease payments are the cheapest way I can get into a car, which I don't have to worry about fixing. I can buy a car for twice the payment and twice the length, but I chose the lease. For the last couple of months, I've been getting these letters and then phone calls and emails telling me the day is coming. Prepare for it. What are you going to do when we take your car away? They tell me, do an inspection because the day is coming. Get out the paperwork. Make sure you have all your ducks in a row. If you're lucky, you get to shoot some. Have roasted duck. And so I've been preparing. Because when you know the day is coming, you know you have to do something about it. I started watching the mileage. How close am I to going over mileage on my lease? I started walking more. Actually, that's not really true. I thought about it, though. When you know the day is coming, it changes you. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, he's going to ask some simple questions. He's going to say something like this. Did you read it? Did you hear what the Bible said? Did you obey? Didn't you know that I was coming back? It's pretty clear. How many different times do I have to say it in the Bible that I'm coming back? Why were you surprised? Did you think that I was just making a suggestion when I said you should love one another? Did you think that John was making a mistake when he said everyone who has this hope fixed upon him purifies himself just as Christ is pure? 1 John 3. That everyone who hopes that I'm going to return makes sure that they're pure? The message of Revelation impacts us today because the message says he is coming and there will be a day of accounting. For all the deeds that we do, all the words that we speak, all the words that we think but don't speak, the curses we think but don't deliver. He's coming. This is the message of Revelation. This is why Revelation actually reveals to us Jesus Christ. So that we understand that he ultimately is the victor. Our eyes will be opened to the glory of the coming one. In the pages of Scripture, we see acts of salvation and providence of blessing. We see God bridging the abyss of sin and establishing peace. We see God disciplining and nurturing. We see God entering into history in the form of a servant, and we see Him sitting upon a throne of heaven, and we see Him coming again. We live today in the middle ground, that ground between the goodness of creation and the glory of recreation. And the message of Revelation rings forth in our ears, "Behold, He is coming." We read those words. We fall on our knees. We look up to God and we worship. For we long to see Jesus and the things which must take place, to read and to hear and to heed what is written here, but mostly we anticipate the sound of the trumpet. When the eastern sky cracks open and we herald the coming of Christ, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, every believer in Jesus Christ is raptured to meet Him in the air, and we collectively say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." That's why we study Revelation, to see Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I ask that You would help us not to be trapped in the numbers game of Revelation, but instead I ask, Lord Jesus, that You help us to see You. That we would go through this study of this incredible, mysterious, wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, and in the end, we would realize the sacredness of this middle ground upon which we stand, and how You stand here with us. Show us Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, you know He's coming, so live in light of that knowledge. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.